We are talking today on another NBA preview. We're talking about the Toronto Raptors with Vivek Jacob, who covers the Raptors in a number of different ways, a weekly guest on Locked On Raptors, writes for Toronto Live Sportscast and NBA, among other things. Vivek, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. I guess, first of all, when we start these NBA previews, I want to look back at the previous year, and I know that might be, difficult when it comes to the Raptors. Tough season, obviously. What were some of the, takeaways from the season as a whole? What did you learn? Obviously a lot happened, since the end of that season.
Yeah, I think with the Raptors last season, before the season even began, you had the front office kind of saying, but not saying, it was going to be a rebuilding year, that this was going to be a year that was focused on growth and development. And so when an organization is telling you that, it gives you an inkling of what's to come, and that, winning isn't really a priority. And So we saw lots of minutes for the young players. I think we saw some important growth for players like Grady Dick and Ochai Agbaji, and obviously Scotty Barnes. I thought he made a defensive leap, and I think coming into this season could potentially be a candidate for an all-defensive team. So I think there were some really positive strides for the young players. And now, coming into this season, having had that time to grow and develop, there's going to be a real expectation of winning at a higher level.
Yeah. Masai Ujiri, of course, was relieved of his job when it comes down to it. He built that team, that franchise, into an NBA champion. Was ballyhooed by a lot of different people. Tell me about him no longer being a part of the Raptors, and what that has to feel a little bit different for you.
Yeah, that was certainly difficult to see. Obviously, he orchestrated a complete change for the organization. You could argue that the Raptors were a laughingstock pretty much until he stepped in, and with the exception of Vince Carter and his time in Toronto. But ever since he came in, there was the era with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, where the team was consistently winning in and around 50 games, always in the playoffs, and then he was able to push it to a next level by getting Kawhi Leonard in for DeMar DeRozan, and you win the championship. And even the following season was very successful, as the team won close to 60 games. They were in the second round of the playoffs and lost in game seven. So it's about what's happened since then, and they have not been able to turn over the roster in a successful way. They've not been able to move on from that championship team successfully. And I think that may have had a little bit to do with it, but I think it had more to do with finances. Masai, obviously being one of the most coveted executives in the league, commanded a very high salary. And on top of that, with the new ownership, with the change in ownership, with Rogers having a 75% stake now in MLSC and the Raptors, I think there was a bit of friction that ultimately Masai had to pay the price for.
Mm-hmm. Well, head coach, of course, is Darko Rajakovic, I believe, almost nailed that. But for him to jump from 25 to 30 wins, and now there's kind of just looking at the over unders and whatnot, maybe some expectations of even more this year. Could you speak to what you've seen from him? I know he is also another guy that when it comes to the NBA diehards that follow the sport day to day, kind of like what he's able to do. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he came in with a development reputation. I think his biggest fame prior to the Raptors was what he had done with Desmond Bane and helping him shape himself into an all-star caliber player. I think that's what Toronto was looking for when they brought him in. Obviously, a lot of young players on the roster, and they wanted someone who could get the best out of them. And I think in terms of the first 2 years, just focusing on growth and development, I think he's done a really good job. Again, when I look at the players, RJ Barrett has improved. Emmanuel Quickley has stepped into a starting role. Ochai Agbaji and Grady Dick, who I mentioned earlier, have looked good. So I think there's been important strides there. And then you had rookies last year in Jamal Shedd, Jacoby Walter, Jameson Battle all have an impact. So I think he's checked off the development box, and now this season he is really going to be assessed on how much he can help this team win at a high level. And, you know, one of the big things that he was also recognized for was having an offense that is conducive to today's style of play, and having an offense that, you know, has a lot of ball movement, player movement, and the results necessarily haven't been there, but it has been a dramatic shift from what the Raptors fans were used to seeing under Nick Nurse.
Yeah. When it comes to the offseason and any movements or re-signings, not a whole lot going on there for the Raptors. Maybe the big one was, you know, drafting number 9 overall pick Colin Murray-Boyles, or I guess agreeing to the 4-year, $104 million extension with Jakob Poeltl. Tell me a little bit about that, you know, what you saw from the offseason, and kind of, you know, how that, you know, the goal maybe for this year based on that offseason, or maybe even, you know, years beyond that.
Yeah, I think for the Raptors, their offseason was effectively the trade deadline. And, you know, they're a team that doesn't really secure free agents. And so they call it pre-agency, where they saw a situation with Brandon Ingram that was appealing to them. And instead of, you know, having to compete with other teams for Brandon Ingram, they went ahead and made a trade for him. And they didn't give up too much to get him. They just gave up Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk. And so they were able to secure Brandon Ingram's services. He didn't play the remainder of last season after being acquired, as he dealt with an ankle issue. And so I think that's what a lot of people are looking forward to is, hey, this is kind of the new player who's in the mix, and what will he bring to the table? The expectation is that he will be instantly the team's number one scorer and number one scoring option, and that'll take a lot of the pressure off of someone like Scottie Barnes, who I think is more of a playmaker than he is a natural scorer.
Great. Vivek Jacob again talking Toronto Raptors in our latest NBA preview. All right, Vivek, let's kind of go through, you know, that roster a little bit. So you've touched on, you know, some of the big pieces there. I guess, how does it all work together? And then maybe who are some others that we haven't talked about yet that are, you know, kind of worth mentioning that will be important for the Raptors this year?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we touched on the big names. You know, Brandon Ingram and Scottie Barnes are going to have to figure themselves out as like the top duo in Toronto, and we'll have to see how they gel. Jakob Poeltl, I think, has established himself as one of the better centers in the league, and I think he's just someone who's highly dependable, very good in the pick and roll, very good at protecting the rim. RJ Barrett, I think he's going to be an interesting player to watch because he's been in trade rumors throughout the summer. He is someone that can definitely score the ball. It's a question of how efficiently he can do it. And if you go back to when he was acquired in the trade that also brought over Emmanuel quickly in exchange for OG Anunoby, he was very efficient at the end of the 23-24 season. And I think that's the player that everyone is hoping to see. 24-25 last season, because of injuries, because of the situation the Raptors were in, he was given an expanded role, a high usage role, where he could kind of just see what the limits of his game are. And while he did lead the team in scoring, it wasn't efficient. And I think another big thing for him this season will be he has to shoot his free throws better. He's been around 65% as a Raptor, and that's not going to cut it. Last season, he shot worse than Jakob Poeltl at the free throw line. And so that's something he's certainly going to want to improve on. And looking beyond that, I think this is a big season for Grady Dick. I think he's going to be coming off the bench. You've got the starting five between Quickley, Barrett, Ingram, Barnes, and Poeltl. But I think Grady Dick is going to have that sort of typical sixth man scorer's mentality, and he's going to be able to come in and just try and shoot the lights out, and that's the role that he's going to have. And then he's going to face competition from Jacoby Walter and Ochai Agbaji, who are both better defenders. They might not have the scoring caliber of a Grady Dick, but if Grady Dick can't survive on the floor defensively, then it opens the door for more minutes for an Agbaji and a Walter. And so I think there's a lot of interesting pieces. I think the Raptors want to play a high-intensity style where they push the pace and try to get out in transition as much as possible. And then when they get into the half-court setting, that's where it's going to come down to the players like Brandon Ingram and Emmanuel Quickley, and RJ Barrett and Scotty Barnes making a difference.
Vivek, I've talked with, it seems like most of my interviews here so far have been with the Eastern side, and it's an interesting year for the East, obviously, with, you know, some major players being out for the year and, you know, kind of the opening for a run to the NBA Finals. Now, I'm not talking about the Raptors potentially doing that, but it does maybe, you know, move them up a slot or two or three. What are your thoughts on what would be a definition of a successful year for the Raptors this year?
For me, success would be making the playoffs. I think for the Raptors, if you look at last season, they won 30 games while almost trying not to win. And I think they had a lot of injuries to deal with. They, at certain points, were looking to tank. At one point, they lost 17 of 18 games. So there was a clear mandate in terms of what the front office was looking to do. And so I think this is a team that's a lot better than 30 wins at the bare minimum. I expect this to be a 500 team, but I think they could be better than that. And I think, you know, if I look at the East, I think the top four in some order is going to be the Cavs, the Knicks, the Hawks, and the Magic. But after that, I think it's wide open. And so I do think the fifth seed is there for the taking. I think the Raptors, the Pistons, the Bucks, the Pacers, the Heat, we'll see what the health is with the Sixers, the Celtics. I think they're all in the mix for anywhere from 5 to 11. And I think it just comes down to how these teams start out the season, who which team is healthier, all those, you know, variables that we can't predict right now.
Great insight, Vivek Jacob. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, and enjoy the Raptors season, all right?
Thank you. Enjoy the NBA season.